Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Whoa. It's Halloween Havoc.
Halloween Havoc.
Tried to scare you.
Scared me, man. Yeah.
Did it work?
Hey, we got, you know, flying human beings. We got dragons. Like, I got you trying to scare me. Like, this is there's a lot happening on this episode. We just got started.
Dude, I'm pumped to cover this one, man. Pillman and Steamboat, both in their wrestling primes.
I wish we had covered more Steamboat. Like, we've actually have a lot over the next like couple of months here, because man, everything I see, I love. Like, I remember when I was a kid, like, he's still doing the fire and stuff like that. And so I thought that was just fantastic. And so, you know, I still was just yesterday or day before reading, like, you know, we might get in it. Well, you know, he saw what Flair did and he got a little excited. And so, you know, as of the recording, but we could be close to a match here. But then also, like, people still, I feel like, you know, we've covered his match with Jericho, but, you know, we need to, you know, and of course, like, Macho and stuff like that. But man, I love watching Steamboat in this prime.
Oh yeah, I'm pumped. And 30 years after this match, we're going to see him in action in November, I believe.
Yep. Crazy.
That'll be something. All right. Well, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So again, Halloween Havoc, man, which, you know, I'll tell you what's funny about this. I ordered this pay-per-view.
Okay.
I don't know why. I was not a WCW fan. I just think I happen to, like, you know, want to order a wrestling show. And I think this took place on a Saturday night, but for whatever reason, I, you know, was a good boy and I was allowed to order it. And I did. And I mean, you know, we had one of those scramblers, so I used to watch a lot of wrestling for free, but this one was actually paid for and ordered. I guess I was excited about the main event, Sting and Jake Roberts. I'm serious. I don't know why. So anyways, let's get into this. Fun little dark match. So, and by the way, this took place in Philly at the Civic Center. It held 7,000 people. So just a smaller little building, but October 25th, 1992, the dark match, Eric Watts and Van Hammer, but they defeated the Vegas Connection, which would have been Vinny Vegas and Diamond Dallas Page. That's fun. First match on the show, six-man tag. Tom Zenk, Johnny Gunn, and Shane Douglas defeated Arn Anderson, Michael Hayes, and Bobby Eaton. The match we're going to cover, Steamboat and Pillman. Then, in a U.S. Heavyweight Championship match, Van Vader, Big Van Vader, would defeat Nikita Koloff to keep the title. Then, time limit tag team draw, Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes, your tag team champions, against Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Steve Austin. Ended in a 30-minute time limit draw. Rick Rude is going to defeat Masahiro Chono by DQ in an NWA Heavyweight Championship with two special referees, 22 minutes. Ron Simmons would retain his heavyweight championship in against the Barbarian, who was accompanied by Cactus Jack, in 12 minutes. And then the main event, spin the wheel, make the deal, coal miner glove match, Sting would defeat Jake Roberts, who was recently over from the WWF. Interesting show. A really interesting one, man. It's funny, you know, we talk about how AEW has too many belts, which we can talk about more during the match, But we had four straight championship matches on this show. So there's just always been too many belts in wrestling, I guess. Yeah. Storyline standpoint, how do we get to Steamboat and Cohen?
Yeah, so this one, nice tight little build on this one. I'll start with the Pillman, actually. And so this match, of course, taking place in October of 1992. But the month prior to this is when you finally saw the Pillman heel turn. And so this was very early in that, in us starting to see that. And so, of course, the light heavyweight title being vacated. This was really, up until this point, he was Flying Brian. And so to see him as a heel was interesting. Now, Steamboat at the same time too, not full on heel for this one, but kind of playing that to a degree. And so, kind of interesting how that put him. He actually kind of, leading the good life here. It was Clash of Champions, the 20th anniversary. He beat not Stone Cold, but Stunning Steve Austin. He actually won his first television championship under WCW on September 2nd, 1992. He actually lost it to Scott Steiner just barely a month later, not even actually. And so he actually then won his first NWA World Tag Championship. It was unrecognized at the time, and his second WCW World Tag title was Shane Douglas. The titles became unified. That was at Clash of Champions, kind of happening a little bit after. So he was right in the prime of kind of everything that was happening. It's kind of good stuff going on for him. And so, yeah, just exciting stuff. So, that it didn't need much. I think that for me, the biggest part of this story that we're going to, may or may not see out or see play out is the heel turn for Brian Pillman. At the time, that was such a big deal and kind of how that was happening. And so that's where we're at and what we're getting into. And so just nice little build, these guys not really doing a whole lot with each other, but doesn't mean we won't get a good match out of it.
Well, I'm pumped to cover this one. Halloween Havoc 1992, we're at the 22-minute mark, Season 4, Episode 1. Halloween Havoc 1992, 22-minute mark. Jeff, are you ready?
I want one of these dragon robes, but I'm going to have to be ready without it, so let's do it.
All right, it's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
A lot of aerial stuff here. Flying Brian 229 from Cincinnati. Ricky Steamboat 235.
I love this. Kind of showing that.
Right on the screen, they got a special challenge match.
This will be a good one.
One fall, 20 minutes, showing the weights here. Yeah. Talented.
Bell sounds, and this one should be a very competitive contest.
All right, here we go. So Steamboat coming back to wrestle one more match.
Yep.
At the time of recording, we do not know who he's wrestling.
Yep. It's happened. He was, of course, the rumored for Flair. I think they did right in keeping that one a tag match, because who knows what would have happened if it wasn't. And so, man, Steamboat fast. Wow. And yeah, I think that it's, I don't know who he goes against. I don't know what you do there. I don't know. Is it a WWE thing or is it like a one-off? Like, is that where Conrad's going to start making his nut, is like some of these one-off type shows? But no matter what, I'm all for seeing. If Steamboat wants to go and he's good to go, I'll watch that.
Oh, Steamboat playing possum. I like that.
Yep. He's so fast. I forgot. Like, yeah, Pillman kind of arm bar just kind of locked down here.
I bought a Halloween Havoc t-shirt to wear for Halloween this year.
Good man. Which I don't want to spoil it for people that, maybe listening, your friends and stuff like that. It was that going to be your outfit for the day of, or do you have a certain wrestler?
I don't think I'm going to dress as a wrestler this year. We got baby number two coming and I got a lot of shit going on. I don't think I'm going to do it, but you know what? There's a lot can happen between now and then. So
You're building building the tag team of the future, you know? So
we'll see. Yes, exactly. We'll see what happens.
Rockers 2045. Like, yep. So be all right.
I bought my son a ring and then some action figures. Yeah. He loved it. I can't believe nothing is broken yet.
I was going to say, are these the new action figures or did you give him your like old? Yeah. Like, okay.
Well, I bought them new. I don't have any of my old stuff. Trust me, I wish I did. I wish I had the old ring. I remember exactly what I had, but who would have thought that you'd actually want to keep that thing 30 years later, right?
Right.
But yeah, I got him a Hogan and a Macho Man and a ring, and he's just beating the shit out of them. And I can't believe nothing's broken yet. They make these things super sturdy now.
Oh yeah. Back in our day, if you will, like you had the ring and that was it. And if you ever had those like push pins that you had to like are on the outside of the ring, like there was really weird pins. And then nowadays, like, man, I thought it was just the coolest thing on the planet. They had the lights and sounds, and like now they've got like the elimination chamber and all this other crazy stuff. It's nuts, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta be careful. I don't want to like ingest anything, but I do want to get him some other stuff. So I gotta start looking at everything.
Of course, yeah. All in good time. So yeah, absolutely. So
this shows 7% thumbs up, 87% thumbs down, 5% thumbs in the middle. This was the best match on the show, according to the Observer. Worst match was Rude and Mossy here at Shono.
Yeah, this one, I wonder.
He just ripped the shit out of this pay-per-view, by the way.
Well, and I'm not surprised. Like, starting with this match, I feel like I don't know if the bar, not even the bar was too high. It was just like, you know, these guys, like, there isn't a ton of great stuff. There should be good stuff here, like looking at it and reading it, but like, it just didn't play out well, especially like the coal miner glove match, which of course the glove on the pole, you know, why they thought out of like, that was the best option to go with out of all of the different options they had, who knows, but.
Well, they spun the wheel, could have landed on anything.
Right. Well, and they could have, you know, rigged it so that it landed on something else, but man, like just terrible. And so, sure. That's what we got. So, all right. Normally not really flying too much here, but, so there you had Pillman playing a little possum as well too. That was interesting. Yep.
This year was like one of the worst years in wrestling, man. 1992. You can tell this is like a horrible pay-per-view just in terms of top to bottom. There's just not a whole hell of a lot happening. And then over in the WWF, you had Ric Flair getting injured by the Ultimate Warrior. So he had to give up the belt to Bret Hart. So Bret Hart's big first world championship happens at a damn TV taping, you know. You had that weird Macho Warrior match at SummerSlam 92. Like, just a weird year, man. Just some awful booking. Hogan's gone. I don't know. It was just not a good year.
Yeah, there's just like, and even like I said, this card, like, you know, just not knowing what they're doing. And, you know, these guys, these guys putting on a good match. I'm still like, still impressed with how quick Steamboat, like, even when he's like, you know, he got taken out of the mat there, like, he's just moving so fast, like, it's crazy. Oh, yeah. And so, I was going to say, like, not really high flying much. Like, we're kind of a lot of mat work, it seems like, here. We're going up to the top now, but, yeah, just not a ton going on.
Let me ask you, I don't know why, but we really haven't talked much about it. What's your, just feelings on CM Punk, like this whole 12 month, you know, stretch that he had and how it ended, and just what are your thoughts?
Fire his ass. Like, seriously, yeah. Like the, he made the story about him, Like I found it interesting where they cut those, the old promos of him when he first got there, like, I'm going to get the younger guy over and I want to, you know, I help the younger guy. And then this is the shit we get. And I just want to be like, dude, you're like, you had the world on a platter. Like the fans loved you and you just pissed away all of that. And so, yeah, they're going to buy out his contract and he's never going to wrestle again. And so, I don't understand, like, I just don't understand how it got to that point. And I feel like, you know, we still to this day don't know about the behind the scenes, you know, what happened in the room. I do enjoy the Reddit, you know, detectives of like finding the picture of Kenny Omega at Tokyo Game Show and then zooming in on the bite mark on his arm saying like, that's true. It happened. He got bit. Like, I just don't get it. And I'm wondering, like, did he want out? Like, you know, like why stir the shit that hard? Like, was he about to get shit on in booking? I don't know. Like, but man, like to have, I wish it didn't end the way it did, but also I'm almost not surprised it's ending the way it is.
You know, I feel like anyone that defends Vince and Triple H is like a WWE apologist and they're a mark and,
you know,
but like, I mean, at the time, like I listened to Punk on whatever podcast, I guess he did Colt Cabana's podcast, but like you listen to Punk, like, and this was back in, I don't even remember the year, 2015, something like that. I'm just like, you know, the guy sounds like a prick. And yep. I'm not saying like, oh, he's a horrible person. I'm just like, he just kind of sounds like an asshole. You know how some people are. And it doesn't mean they're horrible people. And it doesn't mean that they should, you know, suffer. I mean, it's just, but they're just not the type of people that get along with many people. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, you know, this guy's kind of an asshole. And I'm sure WWE could have done things better. I'm sure they could have, you know, kept him a little bit safer and less injuries. But like, he held the title forever, for like the longest reign since Hogan or whatever it was. And he's bitching because, you know, when it came time for WrestleMania, he didn't have the top match. But, oh, God forbid you have to wrestle against The Undertaker. You know, and it's like, oh, and you lost the title after a year. Well, you lost it to The Rock. So, you know, I mean, and you made a hell of a lot of money along the way. But the guy just, he's just tough to get along with. And it's like, does he have any friends? Because it seems like everyone that he was cool with in the wrestling business, he no longer is. Doesn't seem like anybody really liked him in that locker room. So, you know, you bash on Vince and Triple H and, oh, how could they treat him this way? And it's like, maybe the guy is just kind of an asshole. He's kind of a loner. He's not a team player. And, you know, he's just not meant for this business, because for a year, he made a hell of a lot of money. He was the top guy basically since they brought him in. He gets the title. He gets all this stuff in his hometown. He's injured a lot, which probably had something to do with age and being gone and all of that. But, you know, ultimately, it's like, I don't feel bad for the guy. And you're right. I mean, you know, I know never say never in the wrestling business, but
here's your winner, Ricky.
Roll up.
A very resourceful counter wrestling move exhibited by,
I'll cap it off by saying, I think I texted you in the moment when it was all going down. Like, I think all I said was like, maybe Vince was right. Like, yeah. You know, he saw it. Here we go. Crazy sunset flip here.
Yes, oh my gosh. Sunset flip off the top.
Worried he was going to take his head off there too. Jesus.
Then Stillman reverses it. Then Steamboat gets him. I don't even know what to call that, but then he gets him rolled up and there you go.
It kind of tossed him up. Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, just to close the loop on that, then we'll transition. But
yeah.
I just, you know, it's, what more could the guy have wanted? And he was still miserable. And it's like, he's just miserable. So I know never say never in the business, but like, you know, he's too stubborn to go to Triple H and go, hey, I'd like to end my career and, you know, right some wrongs and go into the Hall of Fame. And can you blame Triple H if he's like, fuck that prick? Like, you're, there's no way I'm touching that guy. He's going to have to come crawling back. And in WWE, do they need him? Is there any money in him? You know, you saw him return. What's left to do? I think the only money match was him and Triple H, and you know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe Heyman gets him in and they do something with Brock. I don't know. But
well, who would want to put him over? Yeah, that's the other thing.
It feels like, you know, you may have saw the last of him. And hey, I know he's, you know, not young, but he's also not old. And it's like, all right, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? You burn both the bridges. I mean, maybe you go wrestle in Japan or something. You're not going to do UFC. Like, it's just kind of crazy to think about, man. And it's like, he seems like a miserable guy. So he's probably just going to be miserable in Chicago with his wife and his dog.
Have fun. Right. Yeah.
Anyways, but
anyway,
yeah, we're on the same page on that one. All right, let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
What'd you think?
I was not as impressed as I would have hoped to have been. Like,
I was disappointed.
We'll read it. Well, we'll get there in the review. So, and I kind of agree with them. I think it needed more time, but yeah, I was all right with that one. So, but it was still not a bad match. I think I was extremely impressed with Steamboat. I think that maybe it was just in a time when Pillman was trying to figure out his character a little bit, but yeah, for me, I was hoping for more. And so, and this one though, I got my notes in the wrong spot here. There we go. Steamboat went on. It was actually, of course, we talked about the tag titles. Then they ended up actually losing them to the Hollywood Blondes of Brian Pillman and Steve Austin. And then went on to beat Paul Orndorff. It was actually his second and final WCW World Television Championship. That was August 18th, August 18th, 1993 at Clash of Champions 24. And then September Fall Brawl, you had him losing to Lord Steven Regal, losing the belt on that one. And then he ended up still going with Ric Flair. There was more matches with him after this. Of course, it's Starrcade having a rematch for their many matches that went to a time limit draw. Pillman, on the flip side, though, teamed with actually Barry Windham. He was going for the tag titles, like we said. Windham did not win them at Starrcade, which was December of 1992. They didn't last much longer at that point because Windham went after the World Heavyweight Championship at NWA. But Stun and Steve Austin and him, of course, forming the Hollywood Blondes and winning the titles, like we said, from Steamboat and Douglas. So good stuff. Very early in his heel turn. And so 1992 saw Pillman at 32 and Steamboat at number 6. One of the reviews I said here, Brian Pillman had recently turned heel. So the company decided to book him against the Ultimate Babyface in his first pay-per-view after the turn. This had a fascinating dynamic. Steamboat played the de facto bully at times due to him being the bigger, more experienced man and Pillman being the smarmy sleaze bag with newfound complacency. There was plenty of intelligent wrestling incorporated here, notably Steamboat gold-bricking Pillman by feigning him and Pillman blocking Ricky's Irish whip by putting his knees down. I love the closing stretch of this as they did some quality back and forth before Steamboat used his willingness to steal the win via sunset flip. You already said the Observer newsletter on this one, 87.6% thumbs down, like overwhelmingly at this point. And so this match getting the match of the night with the tag match with Rhodes, Windham, Austin, and Steve Williams getting the second most votes. So that was kind of the highlights of this one. But Steamboat pinned Pillman in 10:35 after a double reversal coming off of a hot-looking sunset flip off the top rope by Steamboat. The action was very good, but it seemed like they were just getting into it when they went to the finish. These guys could have used a little more time to do the pay-per-view quality match that this looked to be on paper. Still, at this point, the show was pretty good. 3.25 stars. So We've got a lot of thumbs down for the overall show. 3.25 stars on this match. Tom, where are you going to put it?
4. Okay. I didn't like the match. Nothing storyline standpoint. Crowd wasn't into it. Didn't give them enough time. Thought the finish was kind of fluky. I mean, you're not going to do 3 different roll-ups and that ends it. Like, the way he was holding him, it was just like, well, why wouldn't he kick out? He's not tired. Nothing happened to him. They were just rolling each other up. So, did not like it at all. And I like both of these guys. What about you?
Yeah, I had it at a 5 until you just said 4, and then I think I'm going to lower it to 4.5. I think only because it was not an average match. And so, like I said, I wanted it to be better. I would hope for more. I think we've got some more Steamboat coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And so, and we've seen, we are actually going even further back in time. And there will be the Flair, further back with Savage and Steamboat, which was a very short match, but we're going to get that one day as well too. And so, I'm going to go with a 4.5 because I'm with you. While I was impressed with Steamboat, I wanted more. So yeah.
Okay.
So of course, let's not forget our new sponsor on the show. True Classic Tees. Go into their website. We got 25% off for you using our code payoff25. The number's 25. And so great shirts, great everything. Tom and I were talking last week about putting a bundle together. If you're looking for different polos, like I'm going to order that zip up fleece. I need to get on it. You know, it's now that the weather's getting a little bit colder, and there's anything you can kind of ask for, there's a whole lot of different stuff. And so make sure that you're checking it out. And so of course it is trueclassic.com. Using our promo code, you get payoff25. You get 25% off. Anything over $100 is free shipping as well too. Now, for me, a big selling point here, I love like 30 day free, you know, or 100% risk-free guarantee, 30 days. If you don't like it, send it back. Like, just order it, check it out. Like, even if you're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to use the code, like maybe for the holidays, like, hey, buy a couple for you, buy a couple for a friend, you know, split them, whatever it might be. We talked about it last time. They got all kinds of good stuff because making sure, like, you know, if you're a taller guy, if you're a bigger guy, whatever it might be, they got sizes all the way up to 3XL, 4XL, and all different colors and stuff like that. I know for, you know, me, you know, bigger guys, it can be tough to find, you know, sizes we like and things that look great on us. And so check out their store. It's one of those, doesn't have to be like a wrestling shirt, which I feel like every wrestling shirt on the planet's black. Like, let's add some color to your life. Let's spice it up a little bit. And so look good for the holidays. We got lots of holidays coming up too. Every month we got something different. So Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever you celebrate, you know, let's get it, look your best, be around family, friends, significant others, whatever it might be. And again, payoff25 at trueclassic.com.
Love it, dude. I'll tell you this. There's a fleece jacket and jogger set on there. Okay.
Okay.
It looks good. I love joggers. Normally $100. You can get it for 50, but you use payoff 25, it gets it down to $37.50.
Yeah.
Like a nice track jacket and jogger.
You can't. You and I have been on this planet long enough too to know, like, spend the money on the good stuff.
Yeah.
It will last you that much longer. Like, you don't have to worry about issues with any of it. Like, you know, spend that little bit of extra, and instead of having to buy every other month or every 2 months and things getting trashed all the time, like, there will be stuff that will last a while, and this is what you need.
And a really cool charitable component to the company too.
They
have over 40,000 shirts a month. 40,000. It's crazy.
I didn't know that. We're sidebarring now, but they got good stuff going on. I didn't realize they said, like, what, the t-shirts were the number 3 requested, like, item in, like, shelters and stuff like that. And so you always think, like, they need food and stuff like that. But I get it. Like, yeah. And so that's great to see if they're giving back and, to their community, like, everybody's community. And, you know, hey, like, it's worth it. Absolutely. Good stuff.
Yep. All right. fun episode. We'll see you next week on an all-new episode of The Payoff.